This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
What is up, everyone? It is Friday night, and this is your place for independent comics and independent wrestling. And we are really going to hit the indies hard today and go over what happened on an AEW pay-per-view, talk about a few Kickstarters, and whatever else comes to mind, to be honest. So I'm here with Fred. What's happening, Fred?
Hey, I'm here. I'm still around.
You're still around. That's it? That's all you have to offer?
Yep, that's all I can do.
Any great television shows you watched, or you have just been at the rink?
A little both, but no, I haven't watched anything really much, actually. Just AEW.
Just AEW. Same here. Just some AEW. And I don't know if it counts when I'm watching RevPro on an app, so it's not even really TV.
Does that count?
I don't know. Does it count? I mean, it's not really on my TV. I'm watching it on my phone or my computer. I could watch it on my TV, but...
I wonder if that counts towards, like, views. Like, if you had an app, say, for AEW, if you're watching something, if that's a view.
I wondered that because I told you, not this week, but the week before, I did watch it on the app. Mm-hmm. Because if I watch the East Coast feed, I can watch it the same time live as you're watching it. And I can be in bed at a decent hour. Other words, this old man tends to fall asleep in the second hour of AEW.
Right, like the same people that watch USA and fall asleep watching Criminal Minds, and then NXT gets like higher ratings because their TV's still on, right?
That must be it. That must be it. So I'm watching the wrong show, I guess. Yeah. My lead-in this week was Transformers.
Oh, yeah. You know what's funny is when AEW was over, and I went to the bedroom and stuff, and Danielle was still up, and she was like, "Hey, thanks for leaving Transformers on. I didn't realize how bad that movie sucked." She was like, "I'll let you know." And then she was like, "Do you like that movie?" I'm like, "No."
God, those movies are so bad.
Yeah. I was like, I guess you have to be in robots in disguise and stuff if you like that stuff. And I'm like, I'm not into that stuff, so I don't know.
Better as a cartoon than live action, I hate to say.
You know, funny thing is, when that cartoon was out, I never watched that either. So
yeah, I didn't watch it. I was past it. I was in college by that point, and it just felt like a toy commercial. I didn't buy it. You know, I was like, all those cartoons that were out in that era were like commercials. He-Man, all that stuff. I know some people grew up on them and love that stuff, but it felt like they were just trying to sell action figures, man.
Yeah, I watched He-Man, but I wasn't into, like, G.I. Joe or Voltron. I did watch, like, Thundercats, but then when I was in, like, middle school, heading into high school when Animaniacs came out, then I was like, okay, I can get down with this.
That's some good cartoon. That was throwback to Looney Tunes. That's what I'm talking about. That's some good cartoon.
Yeah. Right there. Well, you know what's crazy is my youngest, he'll watch a lot of the Looney Tunes or Tom and Jerry's, and I'm like, okay, so it still works for kids nowadays. And, you know, he's 11. I'm like, okay, he likes it. So did I, you know.
I think that's why wrestling kind of lost. Like, people aren't watching much wrestling because they weren't watching Looney Tunes. Looney Tunes is like your setup to go into wrestling.
Or Tom and Jerry with the, like, yeah. the classic step on the right, hit you in the face move.
Yep. They were hitting each other with bats and sticks and name it, man. Yeah. They're beating the irons to the face. Yeah.
And some of them would dress up like females and stuff and get a little everything. Yeah.
Yeah. The cartoon violence. That was the setup. And then cartoons started being more about toys and not about cartoon violence. So wrestling kind of slid down.
Yeah.
See?
And you know what else is crazy is back then they didn't have to tell you, do not try this at home.
Yeah, but a lot of kids did. I remember growing up how many kids jumped off the roof with a blanket thinking they were Superman.
Oh, no, I was talking about like the Tom and Jerry stuff.
Oh, I'm still sure some kid tried some of that shit. we were tougher, I guess.
Yeah. Well, plus we didn't have the internet to expose us.
Very true. Very true. But, yeah. You know, it's, you still have like that. What's that kid that jumps through the light tubes and the glass tables and everything? That wrestling kid?
Oh, Superhuman.
The one that says, fuck this shit. And he always jumped.
This is for my juggalos and juggalettes.
So they're still out there.
Heck yeah. Oh. Who, the ICP or juggalos and juggalettes? Oh, you're talking about crazy.
I'm talking about that crazy dude. Yeah, crazy people.
Yeah. Yeah, that kid's a little out there. Bless his heart.
He's getting views, I guess. Yep. Man, I can't imagine what his back looks like, but he's getting views.
Yep, he gets more downloads than we do, so congratulate.
Very true. So did you read any good comics this week?
I did, and speaking because we do cover comics and wrestling. I figured, how about, did you have a chance to read Over the Ropes?
Yes, I did. I'm almost completely caught up, so I'm like on the same page as you. Yes. But I did read those to catch up. And yes, I did read Over the Ropes. And Jay, how could you do that? It was a heartbreaker.
Yes.
The end of that comic.
That was not cool. I didn't see that coming. But I will say that that's pretty good booking. So that's the WWE stuff right there. So I enjoyed it. I can't wait to see where it goes next because, wow, he really flipped the script on it. How many books is this? Is it supposed to go five?
Well, if it's supposed to go five, what was this, three or four?
This is three.
So that means only two more. I hope it doesn't just go five, but it wouldn't shock me. Five seems to be the average run for a lot of these smaller publishers. So.
Or maybe it goes six max.
Yeah.
Maybe he can hit us up, I'm sure, because when we post this, he'll see it and he'll let us know how far it goes. But yeah, I'm definitely, you know, if you're a fan of wrestling like we are and comics, then this is the book for you because, man, the way that he's built the story and the storylines and the storytelling, and if you like AEW like we like AEW, this is the AEW of comic books.
Yes, definitely. I enjoy the banter. I enjoy the lingo. It's smart, like you said, booking. It makes sense, you know, the way they did it. The heels and the baby faces and everything.
He got a reaction out of us. You know, one of us might have threatened to cancel our subscription. I don't know. It wasn't me.
Cancel the network. Cancel the subscription, damn it.
I love it. It's an outstanding book. It's a beautiful book. And not many people are fans of six-man tag teams, but that match was outstanding in this book.
Yep. Channeled some Lucha Bro, some Luchadors. It was good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So what did you read?
What did I read? Okay. So should I talk about some stuff that you didn't read or what I caught up with you about?
Anything.
A few books. I read Olympia.
Okay. So
that
did
was
I.
really good. Okay. Yeah. For some reason, I thought you were ahead of me on that, but. No, I read Olympia, and wow, what a cool issue, you know. The whole thing, the little kid, man, giving that comic book creator a big old speech about, man, you got the coolest job in the world. What do you have to be about upset? Yeah. Get your shit together. I was all like, that's awesome. I really love that part.
Okay, doesn't it seem to be like this kid is a smartass now, like the things he says to him and stuff?
Yeah, he's definitely a smartass.
And so is the hero. He too said some stuff to the guy that created him. Uh-huh. And I started laughing when I got that one panel where he's like telling him if he ever like hurts him or something. But my favorite part of this book was when they're driving to the showdown and there's like a action scene with like the bad guys and he's destroying everything and they just roll in. And the hero guy is in the back of... Is his name Olympia? Is that what his
name
Olympia.
Is? Yeah, uh-huh. Olympia.
He's in the back of the truck just chilling. Like like some country boy or something. Just looking all like Chris Hemsworth, I guess you would say.
Yeah, Chris Hemsworth in the back of a pickup truck.
Yeah, and he's just like so chill. And then like they're like, go on through, I guess, you know. So I thought that was kind of really cool. I'm a big fan of this book. I like it a lot, man. it caught me by surprise. Like, I believe you, it caught you as well by surprise 4 issues ago. And
yeah.
Man, it hasn't let us down. Is the next? I believe the next one of this one is the last one too.
I think so. But I hope they continue because there's a lot more to tell on this one. But right now, I think he's in the midst of a personal story too. Is, you know, the author wrote this book with his father. I don't know how much he wrote with his father, but his father passed away. Mm-hmm. And so you also have this story in the middle of it about loss, like the creator lost someone who he considered like a father.
Yes.
We find out kind of in this one that something happened to the little boy's father. So you have, like, I think you have people looking for father figures in this.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's where we're going. Like, the comic book creator may take the little boy under his wing or something of that nature. You know what I mean? So that's kind of cool, too. So there's some layers to this. And then there's the Kirby level, just fun action, you know, comic book part. So there's a lot going on. And it's really well written.
Right.
Really fun book.
Right. I do think, like, what you mentioned, like, the father figures, I think it's about, like a mentoring thing. And I think, like, mm-hmm. we do lack in society today as men, mentoring younger men to let them know mm-hmm. that even though you might not have a father or something, you can still be something. And there are people out there to help you out.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely so. So check this book out. I mean, I don't think we're steering you wrong. And I mean, and then the art style is very Kirby.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
Yes, yes. And, okay, my next book, it's getting later for Death or Glory. But, man, this book, number 9, Total Chase book. Grindhouse, the art. If you like cars, you like speed, you like things like that, Bingal captures all that with the witty dialogue of Remender, which keeps going. And I think this one might be coming to a close soon.
There's two more.
Okay, so it ends at 11.
What was this? This was 9, wasn't it?
Yes.
Or was it 8?
9.
But I do know there's two more because I looked at the solicits and we have 2 coming still.
Yeah.
So I guess it does end at 11. That's a weird number to end on.
It's an odd number, but I think it's because he's currently then going back to 7 to Eternity. He's going to work on some more. But yeah, still one of my favorite books. Lots of action, lots of craziness. Love that book.
Understatement on the action there. I mean, it feels like you're in a Mad Max movie. I mean, it's not Mad Max like dystopian future, but the car scenes in a like Road Warriors Mad Max, like the cars are rolling through this desert and people are jumping from car to car and there's wrecks and there's, you know, all kinds of craziness going on and just the action is nonstop.
Yeah.
Through this whole thing. And that it just makes you think of that, you know, Mad Max, Road Warrior type stuff from that sense that it's just, like you said, grindhouse, cars, hauling ass, and great banter. Great. I mean, Bengal kills it on this because you feel like the motion and the stuff. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's been an outstanding book. I think the second arc has been a little more crazier than the previous arc, but yeah, I mean, because we get like body condoms and germaphobes and things like that. But
so there's got to be another arc because we haven't even gone back to the guy that's like in, where is he, in New Orleans or somewhere like that, the guy that they're bringing the transplant to.
Oh yeah, the guy without a unit.
Yeah, exactly. So there's way more to be told here, if you ask me.
Yeah.
So this can't be the end. I mean, maybe it's just a break. It can't be the full end, I would think.
Maybe, unless they, like, I don't know, Gorilla Glue that thing on or something. I don't know.
Gorilla Glue that on.
But yeah, wow. What else did you happen to read?
I also read a couple of comics from, well, one or this week and one last week, but I saved it. I read a couple comics from Ablaze, and they're called Kids.
Okay.
K-I-D-Z. And the best way I described it to you is it's like Goonies meets The Walking Dead. So it seems, because it hasn't completely been told, revealed, but it seems like the only people left on Earth are kids in this zombie apocalypse. And people who've watched or read The Walking Dead, one fun thing about Walking Dead was when they go out on their supply runs. So these last two issues have really revolved around supply runs. So there's little kids going on supply runs. And it's just, it's really funny. There's just the right amount of horror, but not horror like scary horror. Just, you know, just enough horror. And it's the kids are like smartasses. You know, I said almost like some of that Ed and Eddie type smartasses. Uh-huh. And I don't know. I just really liked it. I fell in love with this comic. I like the, you know, the Walking Dead reference kind of style. And then I just like kids, like Goonies on an adventure.
Yeah, and that's by, what's the publishing company for now?
Ablaze. Okay. And the authors and the artists, they're all French. This is a French team. So I'm not going to butcher the names here. So I'm going to not even try.
So you get a couple of Jean-Lucs and some...
Well, I just have the last names, and they're long, and they have a lot of C's in them and Q's. And...
see, I could have helped you with that, but I don't have that book. One book that I enjoyed the first issue of was Dr. Tomorrow, and that's a Valiant comic. In one part, I liked it because the kid that becomes a superhero later, he's playing baseball. And when you put baseball in a comic book, I'm a fan of. But this is it's an introduction for me for this book. I've never read anything with it, but I got like a bit of a like Shazam feel. But maybe it's because he starts out young. The older version of him comes back and they meet each other. So, you know, I don't think he changes into him as a kid to become it. But that's just a feeling I got because he kind of met the future of himself and stuff. And I enjoyed this book. It was a lot of fun. It has a lot of action. I just never heard of it before. And have you heard of it?
No, I haven't. And I haven't read that yet. That I am behind on. I'm going to attack some Valiant stuff after this. Mainly, I guess Valiant is indie, but not indie in the middle. We could argue that. But... So I haven't read the Valiant. So Valiant is piled up on me. So the Valiant binge is coming next.
Yeah.
So you say I should put that one on top?
Yeah, I mean, it's a number one. You could start quicker with that one. Did you happen to read Cult Classic number 5?
Yes, I did. That was pretty good. And the ending caught me off guard. Like, it was like, okay, wow, we just wiped this out. This is the end of this story. That's why I was telling you that when you were asking me, you think they'll do another arc? I go, no, they're going to have to do a whole new story because that's kind of all she wrote.
Yeah, it's almost like one of the, like we mentioned, like the, that is it called Svengoolie TV?
Or, oh, yeah.
Or like the Elvira movies. Like they would do those black and white movies on the weekends here when I was like elementary school. And it had that ending, like, I'm like, oh, that's it for this week. So next week, we'll, like you mentioned, like, tackle something different.
Yeah, so it's like a different story.
I think that would be cool, but the main character that was introducing the stuff, he ended up dead, so.
Yeah, so they're going to have to come up with some other, like, narrator style, yeah. So.
But yeah.
Maybe they'll go with an Elvira female. But they have ideas.
Didn't you mention that you, the artist told you that they've been discussing, him and himself and Elliot have been discussing like...
They've been tossing around pitches that they might present to Vault. Yeah. Because I asked him, I go, is there more? And he said, yeah. He goes, we've been tossing around ideas. He goes, but to be clear, it's just me and Elliot. We haven't approached Vault about it.
The publisher. Okay. Yeah. So we might get a spinoff, which would be awesome.
Buy the trade so we get more.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Plus, read anything that Elliot writes, so it's outstayed.
There's a lot of fun in it. You know, another one I read is The New Bitterroot. I think I like this one better than the first arc. I already liked this issue better than some of the stuff I read last time. I liked the last one, but this one kind of just, now that everything's set up, this one just jumped right the hell in and got right into the action. And who's the bad guys and what's happening next. I like that the female character who was complaining she wanted to be out battling monsters now is out battling monsters. And she seems like she's going to be a real kick-ass character going forward. Yeah, I just really liked it. And, you know, it's a great-looking book. Anyone who's read the first arc of Bitterroot knows that this book is an outstanding-looking book. Yeah, that was probably one of my favorite of the whole week that I read.
Yeah, I haven't read the most recent issue, but yeah, I'd have to agree it's one of the best books.
You're going to like it, I think. I think you're going to be surprised. Like, Some, you know, the first one was a little sometimes dry, but they were laying down a lot of the foundation.
Yeah, they feel like. Yeah, they had to give you like the story and the history to the stuff.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. All the historical stuff. So there's still historical stuff in here, but now it's like little hits of it. Yes. Because they've given you the main bulk of what's going on, so they can really concentrate on the action and other things. And it was awesome. I really liked it.
One of the books I like a lot is Folklords. And Folklords, I just recently read Folklords issue number 4. And man, I didn't think that I would like all this Hobbit stuff. and no offense to short people or people with, you know, big feet, I guess, or hairy feet. Is that what it is? It's hairy feet?
Hairy feet. Big yeah. Hairy feet. They yes. Got both. They're big and hairy.
Yes, I do not judge. But man, I've enjoyed this and how this went when they found the library at the end. And I thought that was cool. Like they would walk into different rooms and it could be a different scene or something to a book. And then
yeah.
To get the caption or the end where you get the writer and he's sitting there smoking and stuff. And he's like contemplating what he's going to do next. And he feels like he's going to change it even more crazy. And I'm like, okay, this is outstanding. Like, I don't know. You know, maybe it's because I'm a Lemire fan that I enjoy Kent's writing so much, but he makes you think and kind of like turns you in all different directions. And this book is just so good, man. The art is awesome. Like I mentioned, I don't like hobbits and I'm enjoying it. Or trolls.
Yeah, she's kind of like a troll, huh? all I could think about the end of the book is what you said last week about the other Kent book. And I'm like, wow, that's crazy that he's doing two books that seem to like have the creator creating the book.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it was like really crazy. Now, you know, I have to get the other book now. I kind of feel like I'm obligated to get the other one. I feel like I want more. So yeah. I can't remember the name of it.
Is it that one was Bang.
Bang, okay, yeah. Because last week you were talking about that, how, you know, the creators.
Yeah,
creators.
It seems to be like his new approach. Like, you know, he does a lot of the spy books and things like that. And now he's doing this style of writing, which I'm okay with. Because mm-hmm. I would never thought of it in either, like, you know, like a crime noir spy book. Or with, you know, hobbits running around looking like John Wick.
An adventure book. Yeah, so that was fun. Definitely. I wanted to bring up one last one that I know you didn't get, and you know, we were talking about it and you go, I don't know why I didn't get it. And I said, I know why you didn't get it. And it's called let's see, now I can't remember the name. Hidden Society. It's a Dark Horse book and it's about a team. Well, they're not quite a team yet. They're kind of, the book ends with them putting together as a team. Someone's assembling a group of magic users to fight evil. And there's the big word, magic.
Yes. Users.
So I'm sure when you looked at the solicit, you were like, oh, magic, F that.
Yeah, the only
right
thing,
on past it.
Only thing magic I like is Lucky Charms because they're magically delicious.
See, but I'm in the middle with this one. You have liked some in the past, but I'm not sure you'd like this one.
Okay.
Really not. But the main, the character I like the most kind of has that. You remember Cordelia from the Magic Order, the sister or the daughter? Kind of has that vibe of like the bad girl with the leather jacket. A little bit of Zatanna too.
Okay.
And she's kind of cool. But then the other interesting thing is there's this like goat, blue goat with wings with a smart ass attitude. And I kind of like
it. Is it the Jerigoat?
It's the Jerigoat.
Okay.
But yeah, so it's got, he wears a leather jacket and everything. Yeah, yeah. So
does he throw the Judas effect?
He might. That might be his spell. We'll have to wait and see. I'm only one issue in.
Or is he like the goat from Adam Sandler's car? Like, hey, goat, get off the car.
No,
never heard the albums with the goat from the.
No, I've never heard that particular album. No.
Like, They're All Gonna Laugh At Me. It's the one that came out after They're All Gonna Laugh At Me. He'd be like, I remember, okay, now this is gonna get people that like comedy, Andrew, because when they hear it, they're gonna be like, you know, he's playing catch with a goat, and they're like throwing a football, and he's like, hey kids, throw me the football. And then he throws the football, and he's like, ah, oh, you fucking whizzed that one, huh? He's like, It's funny as hell, man. It's funny, but yeah. Sorry, got off topic. I'm just nerding out about the Sandman. That's the Sandman I like right there.
There you go. Well, that's all I have of my red other than the Kickstarter, unless you have something else.
I think I just want to mention one more book. I mean, I was going to mention Killadelphia and Heart Attack, which are both outstanding books, but I think I want to mention the book Tomorrow, which was brought out by Burger Books. It was the first issue. It deals with like a virus, and this virus comes in the system of people, but it started, I believe, in Russia through computers and technology, and it affects people, and all the older people are dying in this book. So it feels
like you are obsolete
in a way, but they're happening in ways of like they're driving from somewhere and like they, you know, just start bleeding or something, like kind of like the effects that like I don't know, I don't want to, I'm not a doctor or anything, but what I think of like when people say like Ebola or something. And it's kind of crazy. It's intense. It feels very close to all the fear you see on social media and stuff about the current virus that is affecting people. And I was like, man, this is so close to home right now. So I don't know if I'm going to continue to read it because I don't need any more fear or anything. But it was a great book. It's Burger Books. The art is outstanding. It's a good book, but it's too close to home right now.
I bought it. I haven't read it. I'm like, shit, that'll be my third pandemic type book that I'll have in my, and I'm like, geez, I don't know if I want to read all this pandemic. I got The Clock and I have Pandemic America. I can't even say it.
And then the Tomorrow. Oof. Yeah. Right.
That's a lot.
That's a tough subject, but I know there's a good subject that we need to talk about, and there's a Kickstarter that you need to support.
Yes, there's a Kickstarter by our friends Five Meats, who live the gimmick that we try to push on our show. Yep. They are the real deal.
They don't fake the funk on no nasty dunk. They do that
No. They are real. They are independent comic book creators.
Yes.
They, Oscar isn't, it's Oscar that's the wrestler, right?
Yes.
Oscar is an independent wrestler.
Yes.
He's even held the title. Well, did he hold the title, or technically he doesn't?
He had to hold the title, because if he wasn't holding Pugginhead, then Pugginhead couldn't hold the title, right?
Yeah. So yeah, I guess technically it's a co. They're co-champions, him and Pugginhead.
Some may say that he's up Pugginhead's ass. I don't know.
Some might say.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. That's hearsay. I don't know.
But yeah, they have a Kickstarter going. They've released three comics before this, but now they're releasing their new comic with the original three.
Yes.
So it's going to be a graphic novel style comic, and I'm going to read this great solicit. Okay. The name of the comic is Mashbone and Grifty. It's a satirical action comedy about a gullible, happy-go-lucky monkey man and his pessimistic, cowardly, sad sack best friend who, after years of stagnation and dead-end gigs, decides to take life in their own midst by starting their own detective agency in a South Texas border town. Okay, these guys, are basically their office is their favorite bar, where they owe on their bar tab. I mean, they really owe on their bar tab.
Yes.
And after, they don't have their own business cards. They have another business card where they scratch out the name and write their own names on
it. Yes.
I mean, these are just some of the crazy.
They love Die Hard.
Yes. Yes.
They love Pauly Shore because they make mentions of these things. The things that they talk about in these books, and it's funny. It's funny to me because I don't know Oscar personally. I mean, other than to back and forth DMing and stuff, messaging and stuff. But I feel like we're related somehow. Because the things that he enjoys and the things that he finds comical, it's the same things I find comical. So I would consider him a brother from another mother.
There you go. Yeah, his books, these books are hilarious. And this one's going to be in color. The whole graphic novel's in color.
Yeah, so was, I believe Lemon Joe was in color too.
Oh yes, yeah, but Lemon Joe is not connected to this universe.
No.
Well, I guess technically you could say maybe they're in the same universe, but no, they're not
I think that that's more for like little kids. But here's the here's some things that you can get with the Kickstarter. Okay, you get the trade, right? You can get digital and physical copies. You can get stickers. You can get bookmarks. You can get collectible trading cards. The collectible drink coasters. I got those ones. I put in for that one. You can get original commission posters, and you can even get drawn into the book.
That is pretty sweet.
So, you know, I don't know. I could probably be swayed to be drawn into the book later. I don't know. Because he has made memes of me and the bag of donuts before. So, I don't know. Maybe we can make an appearance. I don't know.
That'd be crazy sitting at the bar.
Well, Joey can't sit at the bar, but...
It's in Mexico. Joey can sit at the bar.
Not if Selma Hayek's there, that's for sure. Okay, here's what happens. If I put in for it, I want to be drawn in there with Selma Hayek on the bar. We'll have to discuss this. I mean, and then I have to see how much money it is. But yeah,
you got to see what you're going to spend.
I might have to look at that a little closely, but I'm thinking about it. I'm playing with it right now. But
mulling it over.
Yes, but I will say, you know, go back this book. Do you have the link, Andrew?
The link. Give me one second.
Okay, while you're looking for the link, let me tell you about my buddy Oscar has Party World Wrestling on Twitch next Saturday, which is the 14th. You can watch Raw High Rave. And you can watch the Coffee Man versus Pizza Man. It's the best time ever. The crowd is hype. You can watch how... I'm not sure if Pugginhead is in this, but you can see like all these characters and things. And it's outstanding wrestling. So much character development. Funny as hell wrestling. Great time. It's amazing. What do they say? Hail Mother...
Hail Mother Worm!
Hail Mother Worm. Yes, yes.
Definitely. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Basically, you go to Kickstarter. Okay, so because the link is Kickstarter/project/, and you look up Mashbone and Grifty.
Okay.
And then it'll take you to their page, and they have a video where they discuss some, and there's some samples, I believe. Yeah, there's some sample pages. And, you know, you can pick your which one you want to back. I mean, or what reward you want, excuse me.
And then, let me see.
There's like how many days left? I'm looking right now to see how many days are left on the Kickstarter. There's still 24 days to go, but don't make them sweat till the end.
No. And then also, you want to stay up on top of everything that they have. Go follow them at the number 5 and then capital MEATS 5 Meats. So go follow them. Also hit up their store because they have outstanding shirts, which I have a few of those, and a coffee mug. You know, get the swag bag.
A lot of Rick.
Those guys are amazing dudes, funny dudes, and go support them.
Support indie comics, support Kickstarters. I'm big on Kickstarters. You know, I'm guilty of just being half-ass on our social media lately. I don't even give my tag out. But the one thing I do want to get better at doing that for is so that we can help some of these great, talented people get their comics out there. You know, I'm not big on self-promotion for myself, honestly, but if I can help sell one more comic than they would have sold, then it was worth it. So yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to sell like Britt Baker. You want to sell like I don't know.
Who's like good at Statlander.
Yeah. I was gonna say Dolph Ziggler, he sells, but he works for a different company.
He works for that company that cannot be named.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So you ready to get into the wrestling?
Yeah, let's jump into the wrestling now. Nice Gilligan hat.
Gilligan, it's a TV show. You know, sit right back in here, a tale of a... You don't know that song?
Oh, man.
Hey, little buddy! Isn't that what he used to do?
Yeah, the skipper.
Hey, little buddy!
Yeah, Gilligan. Yeah. What's happening?
Nothing really.
Nothing really? Nope. You look tired. You look like you haven't watched any wrestling. Have you watched any wrestling?
Watched MLW, Ring of Honor. NXT, AEW.
Speed. Nice. Speed. At least somebody talked. Watch some stuff. Yep. So how about that pay-per-view?
For AEW? Oh, wait. Yeah.
What other pay-per-view was
it? I mean, there was a Ring of Honor one, but I didn't watch it.
Okay.
But, because you don't have Honor Club. But the AEW pay-per-view was really good.
Is he dogging you for not spending money?
Yeah, did you hear he's taking shots right there? Like, you don't have that. No, I canceled it. If I get Honor Club, you don't wear Jordans.
I was going to say.
I don't wear Jordans.
Yeah, you do. Fool.
No, I wear Vans.
Oh, now you wear Vans?
Yeah, because my...
How many pairs of shoes do you need?
I only have two pairs.
How many?
Two.
You have more than two.
No, I don't.
Don't lie to the people.
I only have two.
You have two pair of Jordans.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do. The other ones.
What kind of Vans do you have real fast?
I have like a high top black ones.
Oh man, where's the checkers?
No, I don't have those.
He doesn't even skateboard.
Yeah, I know.
He's a poser.
No.
You know, my granddaughter even has Vans already out here. Vans are big out here. They're about this big. Little Vans. With Velcro.
Nobody can fit in that van. See Vans like, see what it is there? Whatever, dude.
All right, well, let's get up to that paper. Before we do, though, I want to just mention that so we can get this out of the way so Fred can have his party.
Okay, let's hear it.
We're still getting our ass kicked in the fantasy league, right. By the way. The pay-per-view didn't save us. You only have two more points than me, mister.
Oh. Yeah,
I actually made a lot of points on the pay-per-view, but it didn't matter. So the current scores as of after Wednesday, 43 for me, 45 for Joey, and
how many?
81.
Oh. 81.
Whoa. Oh, tone it down there. You don't need to brag.
I think you got like 12 points or something just this, the regular show, for God's sake. Yeah. We're toast, man.
Yeah, you guys are done.
But like I did want to make a trade. I forgot.
A trade?
I want to drop someone. I want to drop two people and get two people.
But wait.
I get to go first.
Andrew gets to pick first if he wants to pick someone.
Does he want to pick
anybody? Because I'm in last place.
Do you want to pick anybody?
Yes, I do. I would like to drop Nick Jackson and pick up Brody Lee.
Oh, he's doing it early.
Okay.
That means Joe could make a move now if he'd like.
That's it?
Yeah, go for it. Okay, and then it goes back to me.
I'm gonna drop Trent and Dustin.
No, you can't drop two dudes. You can only drop.
No, I'm picking up two dudes.
No, you can only pick up one move at a time.
That's my turn.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna drop Trent and pick up Lance Archer.
Okay. Fred, are you gonna do any moves?
Nope. Don't need
and
to.
I am going to drop B. Priestley and pick up Yuka.
Yuka Sucky Saka.
Yeah, Yuka Sucky Sucky.
Okay.
She fits my team because my team sucks. So, yeah, Yuka Sucky Sucky is on my team now.
Yuka Sucky Sucky.
Can I drop Dustin and pick up, what's his name? Jake Hager.
You want to pick up Hager?
For Dustin, of course.
Okay.
Feel like he's gonna wrestle more than him.
So that is that. You guys done with your moves, or are you making more?
I'm done. I'm done. I thought about Sammy, but I'm gonna hold on to him a little bit longer. So he actually got me a point yesterday. So
I think I'm okay.
Okay.
And I think my Lucha Bros are finally gonna start doing something to give me some points.
Yeah.
So
the Death Triangle.
We shall see. The Death Triangle.
The Death Triangle.
But that's jumping ahead. Let's stick to the pay per view first.
Okay.
What would you guys grade that pay-per-view?
Out of what? Five?
Out of 10.
Oh, 10?
Eight.
Yeah.
That's a good score.
Yeah, eight.
That's a good score. That women's match dragged it down. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. That was not a good match.
There was a women's match?
Yeah. Chris Dallin.
For the title.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They both almost killed each other with botches, man.
Yeah, but Statlander was sick, right?
Yeah, I'll give Statlander for being sick, and she hasn't done this poorly before, but this is my complaint about Nyla Rose. She's supposed to be power, and she doesn't have power.
No.
She's going to hurt somebody in one of these moves, you know?
She is not, what was this? Who sang the song?
I
got the power, power. It's getting kind of heavy. Okay. Go ahead.
Well, I feel like Nyla Rose, like, she doesn't botch her own moves. She botches, like, other people's on her, like, because she can pick people up. And
she was struggling.
She's not that heavy, and Nyla Rose is supposed to be strong. And you're
right.
She had some problems lifting Statlander, you know? And then Statlander almost killed her on that, off the ropes. You know, they fell. They didn't do the move right. They kind of fell.
No, that wasn't a good match.
And it was the only women's match, so it kind of puts them down.
That's the only thing I look at that. I mean, they are blowing it away everywhere else, but they have to get that straight. They need to steal. We talk about every week them stealing from someone from WWE. They need to steal some of the ladies. They really do. They need some people that can work. Like, you know, they don't even have to be stars. I mean, Dana Brooks could be a star right now in AEW.
But doesn't WWE, like, hide whose contract's going to be up unless they ask for it to be over or something?
Probably.
Because.
Yeah. That was the match. And then, of course, the you know, the pre-show match. But it's the pre-show match. It's free. How can you complain about something that's free?
The pre-show match was good because of all the story around it, like, after
And Colt Cabana, boom, boom, Colt Cabana.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't pick him up.
No, I was going to. I was going to drop Jungle Boy.
For Colt Cabana?
Yeah.
No wonder why you got so.
That's why I was. Yeah.
Jungle Boy has been the king of your dark matches, man.
Yeah.
That's why I left him.
That's why.
And you got rid of Trent. Trent has been getting you some. That's why you're ahead of me.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't know.
I might just have to pick up a Trent and set, like, Joey Janela down.
I'd do that if I were you. I've heard Joey's going to be off doing his own hardcore stuff.
I think he would need Joey Janela.
I think he's going to be off TV for a while, from the way I kind of have been reading. So it might be a good move to move him.
But
I'm going to eventually drop Jericho, but it's too early. So
yeah. Jericho's and going on tour. I have all the rankings, too, for later, if we need those. If we need
Sweet. Okay. So what was your favorite match?
Probably the tag match. That was probably my favorite.
The match was pretty solid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm surprised that they put the women's match over the Cody MJF. Like, it was more like higher up card, but
it was to protect it. No match following that match was going to do well. So no match was going to do well after that match. So that match was just too hyped. I was shocked that they didn't open with Darby and Sammy. That was a hot match. That should have been the opener.
Really, yeah, that was crazy. Like, the stuff that Sammy did, like, that was it the 6:30?
Yeah.
Onto the tables.
That's
like some Ricochet stuff.
No, he did more than Ricochet.
That's Ricochet's finisher, though. He does that every week.
Not the 6:30.
Yeah, he does.
He does the 6:30.
Yeah, that's his move.
Does he? I don't watch anymore, so I don't know.
But he's not even, like, Sammy's, like, super young.
Yeah, they're both 20. That's why it was, like, good. Like, they were both around the same age. They're both crazy.
Damn, and Sammy sells. Sammy's good at selling.
Yep.
He goes flopping all over the place.
Yep.
Like a Gumby. It's hilarious.
And I made sure my mom watched, like, two or three, like, the tag match and that match, and she couldn't, like, take her eyes off the screen, but at the same time she was like, no, I don't want to, you know what, I don't think you should be a wrestler. I think I'm gonna get rid of the trampoline.
That bad, huh? Yeah, there was some good stuff. And anyone who says the Bucks don't know ring psychology is full of shit. That's all I gotta say, because they put on a good show.
Yeah, they obviously don't watch wrestling if they don't know that.
That was great. The end of that, I thought for a minute the Bucks might super kick Omega, and then I thought that maybe Hangman might jump over and give a lariat to...
Yeah, like, you've seen how he set it up. He just put his arms on the rope and set the title down. But then he's like, he just, like, waved over to him. He was like, yeah, come on.
Yeah, because they're still feeding into the storyline, and he's going to turn on him.
But you said surprise. It's the other way around.
I think that Kenny will turn on him.
Right.
You think so?
Yep.
Yeah. I think the turns are coming left and right. And I think that's War Games, because they gave us a hint this week. The fact that they all came out there to fight the Inner Circle. Hangman came out. Beck Jackson came out. Cody came out to help.
That's what you were saying.
Yeah. That was all. Everything on that show was built up for that.
You think it's Elite Inner Circle? Blood and Guts.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me. It's just which members of Elite is it going to be is what we're waiting to see.
I feel like one of the Bucks, maybe one of Cody and Hangman, or both of them, and then one other person, but they would have to choose.
Omega?
Yeah, maybe. So, like,
what do you think of the new champion?
I think it's going to be, it's the Mox Revolution. But at the same time, I think you've said it before that you don't think he's going to be, like, a long champion. Like, it's going to be just a transition.
I don't think he's going to hold it for, like, a year.
Till the next pay-per-view? You think he loses it at the next pay-per-view? A Double or Nothing?
What month is that?
Summer.
It's in the beginning of the summer.
May or June? I think he'll hold it for one more pay-per-view, but then drop it at the following one.
Okay.
Because they're only doing four a year, right?
Yeah.
So I think that gives time for, say, so maybe MJF goes against him next, right?
Yeah.
And then he'll be...
Or Hangman or Omega.
The rankings might...
I think whoever, like, turns into Hangman Omega, I think they're going to build up for... at first, I thought, like, Omega was going to get the title next, but I don't know. And Hangman's freaking over.
Isn't he? Do you think they'll change... streams, like maybe it was meant to be Hangman, and now they're like looking at it and saying, man, maybe we need to keep him as a babyface because he's so damn over.
Yeah, so then maybe I think give like Omega the belt and then eventually have, or you know, Omega beats Moxley because he has yet to lose since that match, since he beat, since the Moxley Omega match, right? The last, yeah, isn't that the only he's the only one to beat Moxley, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Did he beat Moxley Omega?
Not this year.
They beat them in a tag match. Remember, it gave Pac his first loss? Like, because Mox walked out and he left Pac alone.
Oh, yeah, so his loss was him walking out.
Yep.
Okay, so maybe that's what happens next. Is maybe he fights Pac for the belt and beats him.
Yeah, it's possible. Like, but it looks like Pac's doing three-way stuff now, but we'll see.
Do you think that their next belts is going to be a trio?
I'm thinking it now because it seems like they're really building up trios all over the place.
Right, because you have the Best Friends, all three of them.
You have the Jurassic Express.
SCU.
You can do something with the Dark Order. You know what I mean?
SCU is a three-man group too.
Yeah. So there's a lot of three-man groups. So
I think every company has a three-man title except for NXT.
The Bucks could add like Brandon Cutler. I know he's not great, but they could add that to make it their three-man, you know, just so they have enough teams. I think they are going that way.
Because didn't you say it's like supposed to be like it's going to change the game or something?
That's what they said. Cody said, so that doesn't change the game if you ask me, but it sure feels like they're building up three-man teams. Why else do you do that with the Lucha Bros and...
That would be like the team to beat.
I feel like that would be... Are you kidding me? Best Friends. Orange Cassidy?
Oh, yeah, because that's the next thing. Hot. It's going to be those three versus those three.
Put the title on Orange Cassidy?
Don't underestimate the Jurassic Express. Those guys are over, too.
They were sitting like ringside the whole time. So they're doing something.
Oh, there's a lot going on. It should be a lot of fun. And then they're going to have a lot for the singles if all these new guys coming in. If Matt Hardy does come and you have Matt Hardy, Archer, and Brody Lee in the singles mix, all of a sudden the singles just got really interesting again.
Yeah.
And the speculation is that Brody Lee will be with Jake the Snake. And so that would put him right into a feud with Cody.
You said Brody Lee's going to be with Jake?
Yeah.
You said that too?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said like Archer was going to be with him.
No.
I thought that's what you said. Jake the Snake.
I think Archer's going to be the Dark Order guy.
You do?
Yeah.
He was thinking like,
who is he?
You, like, at the end of the match, you were like, well, I mean, he could come out because Mox and him have like a thing going on. Like, he took his title.
Well, they said he was supposed to appear.
Yeah.
Yep. They swerved us. They changed it. They changed it on us.
So I was waiting for him to come out and attack him.
Maybe and you were also saying if this last match goes seven more minutes, Matt Hardy could show up.
Yeah. Yeah, I was wrong. But, hey, you saw the Bucks show up on his YouTube video. Yeah.
And then at the end of their YouTube video on being the Elite, they got a phone call and they said something about Matt. You're like, is it time or something? Like, that's what they said.
I think he's going to be a good guy. I think they realized he can't be the Dark Order guy because he's going to be too damn over.
Yeah.
Matt's going to be over big time.
Yeah.
So hard for him to be the bad guy. He's going to be like Jericho over. And it's perfect timing. If Jericho does go on tour, I think Matt Hardy can kind of fill that void for Jericho being gone. Yeah, with the promos and all that stuff. I think it'll be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited. And like I said, if Brody Lee's coming into a feud with Cody, that's perfect, man. That is so perfect.
Especially with Jake the Snake Roberts as like his mouthpiece because he did a great promo.
They had to show off what he could do. They had to show it off before he came out.
It makes sense. Brody Lee, like we were talking about, doesn't really talk a lot. You put him with someone who can really talk. And then you got Arn and Jake kind of throwing glares at each other and talking shit to each other. There's a lot
to
do. So
Brody
Lee,
Cody is the next thing with them? With Cody?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, I could be wrong.
Well, yeah, because they go to Rochester, New York in like, what, a week or 2 weeks? Mm-hmm. And that's where he'll appear.
Yep. Makes sense.
Because that's like his home.
It's amazing the storytelling they're giving us. We're coming off a pay-per-view and we're already like excited about some upcoming stuff. Yeah.
Yep.
Wow, what a concept, huh? Tell us some stories. Is there anything else you guys want to hit on the pay-per-view before we move forward?
Like pay-per-views, like in general, like you said.
No, I meant this particular pay-per-view before we move forward onto like some other promotions or something.
Well, I was talking, this one, you were saying something about them trying to keep up with WWE's pay-per-views and they're just putting them on Wednesdays. It's even better, like gives you match stipulation. Like the War Games thing's in a regular AEW show, right?
Yeah.
Because it's forcing the NXT to like change their thing. I mean, you found this week.
this week?
Were like, let's throw two matches in a steel cage because you guys did one the week before. Like,
but there's no build-up. They don't understand that. It's not just putting people in a cage. Well, there's no purpose to
the
it.
The matches that were in a cage were...
But we did two of them, and that's good shit.
They were okay stories. Like, they were built up before. The first one was... I mean, they started the show with a cage match. I don't know who does that. But the first match was Tegan Nox, Dakota Kai in the cage. That story was kind of built up.
And, that's true.
And Roderick Strong, Velveteen Dream. Which they were fighting, and then Roderick Strong put him out for a couple months, and he came back after Roderick Strong. So
that makes sense. I guess they do make sense. It just seems like
they did it in a cage because the previous week AEW did it on regular TV. So they were like, "Well, we're not going to change and do things the way you do because of that," but yet they are.
And I think it's smart of AEW to give us these kind of things because they're only doing 4 pay-per-views. You know, so you can't do everything. You want to keep your pay-per-views. I think they're going to keep their pay-per-views all about belts, if you ask me. You notice, like, almost every match was pretty much a title match or leading to somebody who's going to be a contender for a title or something. They were big-time matches. There wasn't a lot of junk. And so I think they're saving the gimmicky stuff for TV, like the on the yacht, in big cages, you know, all that kind of crazy stuff will just be on TV. Pretty smart. Because 50 bones is a lot, man.
Yeah.
You know? You can't just do a bunch of pay-per-views and expect us to buy them all, because I won't. Yeah, I can't buy them.
I didn't expect that Wednesday show was going to be that good in the first place when we went into it, because I was like, you know, they just gave their all on Saturday. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, oh, I see what they're doing here. They're getting, like, the lower-tier people more time to, like, spotlight them, which was a... outstanding, because now they're getting storylines. Like right now you're getting like the push for Swole is gonna probably wrestle Nyla next, like that's the push they're getting. So you have her come out there, she squashes real quick, boom, done. I thought that was good.
You give a little love to Chuck.
Yeah,
at the same time you use that to form the triangle
death
thing.
Triangle.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, there was a lot of stuff. Darby got that match to himself. You knock Moxley out, and you let Darby showcase himself against Sammy again. For anyone who didn't order the pay-per-view, it's like, this is what you missed, dummy. And Jericho's in there, too.
I only have one problem with that is, like, when they're getting attacked, when Moxley's getting attacked, Darby's standing there staring at the screen just like Jericho. And I was like,
yeah,
come on now. But I think what they did at the end, because he didn't try to save him or help him, that's why, like, right after the match was over, Moxley comes down then. Because they could be like, well, you didn't help me, so... But that's...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
But is it to sell the fact that they're both, they're not really teammates, they're just kind of were put together?
Yeah, because you know. Remember, didn't Darby go almost to the limit against Moxley?
So yeah. I think it was against, he had against Jericho too.
Yeah,
but he also went pretty good against Moxley. He's had good matches against everyone. He went to the, he tied Cody, time limit.
Right. But he lost like really late. Like he had a good run. Like it went deep into the time, which made him continue to look strong for an undersized guy.
So they're not really teammates or friends. They just, they have common enemies, I guess is the best way to put it. Yeah.
They're frenemies.
They're frenemies. But yeah, you're right. It was a good show. It's impressive what they're doing. It's must watch TV if you're a wrestling fan. Top stuff. I'm not watching NXT. It's interesting. Some of those things you told me, Joey, kind of interest me, but I explained to your dad this way. It's like Marvel Comics. I know they have a lot of people I like writing their comics, but I don't like the way the company does business. So I just don't watch. I watch other things instead.
Yeah. Well, this show wasn't that great anyways, but Velveteen Dream's going after the title. He lost the match in the cage, and then all of Undisputed Era tried to jump in, fought him all off, and he's going after Cole.
One thing that I want to mention, like Joey did say when we watched NWA Power this week, that, wow, Dad, they really do, this is really good now.
It's really good.
Yeah. Did you like it?
Yeah, because he popped better. When Zicky Dice won the
I wasn't even in the room.
He popped huge. You were like, yeah, Dad, that's your dude, right?
No, I was in my room putting my laundry away, and I heard you were like, yeah, Zicky Dice from the other room.
I was like, hell yeah, Zicky Dice, baby.
Nice. I haven't watched it yet. I need to watch. Anything else interesting happen there? Did the women stare at each other again and not do anything?
Did they have a women's match?
I don't know.
I don't remember. I don't know. It was like they had like the James Storm, Eli Drake had a match. Vladimir said that he was going to let his girl loose next week, which is, you know, we all know it's Camille. She was going to speak or something.
Nice.
It was a decent show. It was okay.
Have to check it out. Yeah, I haven't seen that.
That match
I'm watching
good,
Rev Pro now. That's what I told you I'm into. Now Rev Pro does a show every Saturday. So they do it Saturday. It hits the app about Wednesday or Thursday. And so I watch it. I don't even know it's possible to watch it live. Maybe if you live in England, there's a small station that's, I don't know if they have a TV deal. I think it just goes straight to the app and like kind of things like Stardom and some of those ones, they just don't put anything up live. But that's become my go-to and I'm getting excited because they're about to announce that Ospreay's going to be there for a whole tour of the UK with them. So he's going to defend the belt on multiple shows. Okay. There's Bullet Club action going on. ELP, Phantasmo has been there teaming with Hikaru, that's it. And they've been causing damage. It's just been a lot of fun. I'm starting to like some of the people on the thing. I like their women's division, even though it's small. Okay. They actually are good. I like Ricky Knight Jr., who's no relation to the Knight family, Paige's family, but goes by Ricky Knight Jr. He's pretty good. So there's some good stuff. That's my new promotion. It's indie as hell, though. Oh, man.
It's like one camera set up.
One camera. If they switch to another, I mean, it's grainy. It's too dark sometimes. The announcers sound like they're talking on a scratchy mic. I mean, it's just, yeah. Okay. But, oh, well. I like it. It's fun.
MLW was okay this week. I mean, it was pretty good. Two out of the three matches were good. First match was just random. I feel like the Laredo Kid Zenshi versus Injustice match was really good. It was good for an Injustice match. But
your dad said that what's his name is starting to look good.
Who?
From Injustice.
Oliver?
Jordan Oliver is doing a better job. One thing that I like about MLW is Richard Holiday is taking the lead of Dynasty, and he's kind of like sees the role of MJF, he's doing pretty well.
And then they gained a third person. Well, technically it's four because MJF never really left. But they have another person. But he's been there.
Who's the other person?
Well, his name is... I don't know. But
He's the Hispanic dude that was with he left.
Oh, okay.
He left Promociones
Dorado,
and then he turned on them and then joined them.
He turned on Conan.
Yeah, he seemed like
he turned on Conan too.
Yeah. Conan offered him like a spot, and then he jumped him and joined the dynasty.
I don't remember his name, but even you get like I think this week you got Mance Warner and.
Yeah, but that was a random match. Mance Warner came out with like Savio Vega and some big Luke Gallows guy with face paint on came out with him.
So Mance is still there. For some reason, I thought Mance had left them and was like total free agent now.
No, he actually in this match when the Dynasty was in the ring. He challenged Hammerstone and was like, what, are you just going to turn your back? Like, and I think he said the P word. And or maybe he called him a bitch. I don't remember. And Hammerstone stopped and, like, looked at him. And then he was like, or are you going to get in the ring with us? And then he attacked Mance. So maybe Mance is getting a title run. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love Mance.
Havoc challenged Pillman for, like, something.
Interesting. I would think that Havoc would be on break from them because Havoc's getting involved in that feud with Luther on AEW. Mm-hmm. So he's going to run multiple feuds. Interesting.
Yeah. And they're still showing that Killer Cross coming soon video.
Okay. Well, that's not happening. You know about that.
Yeah.
So
next week is Seema versus Jacob Fatu.
Nice.
And then they had a lumberjack match, but the Los Parks came back versus Simon Gotch and the Joseph Samael guy. Yeah. It was a really good match. I feel like his son, El Hijo del L.A. Park, he's like really good, but he's just L.A. Park's son.
Mm. That's well, speaking of them,
with some of them.
How's it going in AAA? Because I know those guys have been going to AAA a lot. Hijo, the L.A. Park.
I just found out today that those Scorpion and stuff, they're not... They're not the Ignorable dudes. It's L.A. Parks group with Roosh, and Roosh runs it in Ring of Honor, too. It's Roosh, Dragon Lee, and Kenny King in Ring of Honor that do it. And they're called, like, the La Faction de Ignorable or something. But it also says that Pagano's supposed to show up on one of MLW's pay-per-views coming up.
Yes, he's the dude.
He's the guy.
He's the dude.
So what other promotions did you guys watch? There's no New Japan.
I watched Ring of Honor.
Yep. Watch Ring of Honor.
Not the pay-per-view, though.
Nope.
Because you don't pay for those.
Because it's free.
But I seen a clip like from the pay-per-view that it said something.
From not this pay-per-view, but the pay-per-view before that, because I knew about them already having the titles.
Okay. Well, they're really good.
Because you want me to tell you what happened at the most recent pay-per-view?
I don't know if the listeners want to hear.
Roosh won the title back.
From?
PCO.
Oh, the heavyweight title?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So they have the main title, and then what are they called? They're not called the Mexicools. That's WWE.
That's messed up.
No, they're called something Mexico.
The Mexicools was WCW.
No, it was WWE, and they came out on tractors, on lawnmowers.
Oh yeah, they were like, that's not cool. That's Mexicool.
It was Juventud.
That was Juventud.
And they didn't wear their masks.
That's not cool. That's Mexicool. All right, Hoobie, drink another one.
Yeah, you know, though, I got to give him credit going back to that pay-per-view. He did call the Hager bomb.
Oh, Joe?
Yeah, you did call, and they did one. I mean, they called it a Vader bomb.
He almost said the Jaeger bomb.
Yeah, I know, I almost did. But when they said Vader bomb, and
that,
he did it,
you know, like, you know what, going back to that, that might have been the second worst match of that card.
Yeah.
Was Dustin versus Hager.
Yeah,
because they're too similar. Bad. You can't put two similar or wrestlers together.
I mean, Sammy and Darby are kind of similar.
Huh?
And the whole thing with his fiance or his wife.
That
was unnecessary garbage. I didn't like that at all.
Yeah, that's weird.
If he was Gold Dust, it would have been okay, but he's not. So
that's it.
Do you want the rankings?
Yeah, give me the rankings.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Okay, so.
Just get to it.
We start with the tag teams. Mm-hmm. At number 5, we have the Private Party, which their record's 1-0 this year.
They haven't even been on TV. How the hell are they ranked?
Well, they're 1-0. The best friends are 3-2.
That's so you don't forget about them. That's why they put them there.
SU is 2-3. I don't know how they're higher ranked, but they're number 3. The Young Bucks are 2-2. And then the Dark Order is number 1, and they're 5-0 this year.
They lost this. Oh, no, that wasn't a tag team this week. It was some weird four-man
thing. The Dark Order is 5-0?
Tag team.
Yeah.
Stu Grayson. So.
Why didn't you pick
They've been
them
winning up? On Dark. That's the only place they wrestle.
Yeah. Because they're the Dark Order.
They're the Dark Order they control because the dark they're always matches. On the dark match. That's best.
They control the dark
You were
matches.
Saying, thinking the same thing.
Yep.
They're the AEW Dark Order. Yeah, see?
They're setting it up.
See what I did
so
there?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right, what's up with the women?
The women, we have Britt Baker, number 5, 2-2.
She doesn't wrestle either. Trust me, I have her on my fantasy team.
She's Yuka useless. Sakazaki, number 4, 1-1.
Newest member.
Chris Statlander, also 2-2, number 3. Riho, 3-1. And number 1 is Shida, 3-1.
Shida. So Shida should be next. Oh, Swole's what? Not even on there. They need to start giving Swole some wins if they're going to move her up.
Yeah, she's not even on the rankings. And Yuka Sakazaki just is only
That's
been there
why
2 weeks.
Say these rankings are just
That's what,
so people remember who's on the roster. It's not. It's meaningless.
AW gave it to us.
I don't care what AW gave you.
Yeah, and that does change the booking. So that means that Archer can fight Moxley, but he can't go after the title. Archer's going to come in unranked.
Nyla's 4-1. Oh, yeah, he's not even on there. So he can't just
so
hop up
So you're telling
the
me
one
that the Dark Order
is next up.
They're going to wrestle Kenny and Hangman.
Maybe for the next pay-per-view.
Oh, that's
what if like I, what if one of them is the Exalted One? What if they've been fooling us with all these people coming in and
Kenny
the whole time
the
it was either
the
Kenny.
Exalted One.
Who?
Kenny's the Exalted One.
Kenny is the Exalted One.
There you go. And that's the big
That's where he thing. Goes. He goes
That's going to suck.
Bad.
I don't know.
Kind of. It depends on the deal. Because I told you, Dad, the one thing that Jake Snett said.
Then they'll kill
episode,
Kenny. Oh, they killed Kenny.
So he called
Dark Order.
He called Cody Caesar.
Yeah, like
so.
Three
if
times.
You go on your, you know, your Shakespearean, then who's Brutus? Who's gonna stab? Who's the best friend that's gonna stab Caesar in the back?
It's Kenny.
And so Kenny or Arn Anderson. Those are the two people
Arn
I come
Anderson
back to.
Can't One, turn on him because they're not gonna fight each other.
Yeah, but he could screw him somehow and cause him to lose.
Well, I mean, somebody's
it would still
like
be
that.
A big deal.
Like,
if
why
he did
is everybody
that?
Always turning on Cody? Like, is that, like, going to be, like, the new trend?
Because he's the Rhodes. Yeah. That's what they do
he's
to
the
Rhodes.
And he's the baby face. He's always getting screwed over, you know? That's just the way it is. That's his role. He's the baby face, you know? So
the men's rankings coming up.
But if it's Omega, that might work. So
good.
Omega screws
the
them
order.
In that.
Yeah, that will get the Dark Order over.
Yeah, sure as hell would. Dark Order yeah, Kenny
corny,
would actually work.
Kenny is kind of corny, though. Wearing a weird mask and stuff.
You have no room to talk with that Gilligan's Island hat on.
All right. So what are the rankings for the singles men? Did you give us that?
Yep. No, not yet. But Pac is number 5. He's 2-2.
Too low for Pac. Go ahead.
Cody is number 4. 3-1. Omega is number 3. I don't know how they rank him for this, but he's 1-0. 2 is MJF. 3-0. And number 1 is Jericho. 0-0. I mean, 1.
Gotcha.
He's awesome.
That makes sense.
And then Mox is 7-0.
Yeah, Mox doesn't lose.
Well, this year. So. I think he's had a loss, like, end of 2019.
Crazy. All right. We have any other wrestling news, or are we done for the evening?
I think we're going to wrap up for the evening, but before we go, I want to tell people that we have a Nerdy Legion Baseball League starting up soon.
Nerd.
Yeah, that's me. Dr. Joe will be starting a Discord, so if you enjoy like hearing us and you want to hear us talk trash to each other on about fantasy baseball, which Dr. Joe says a lot of inappropriate things like dick smack and things like that on his Twitch channel. I'm sure somebody's going to be called a dick smack somewhere. Yeah, it should be interesting. I don't know how to use Discord, so he's going to show me how to do that. We're going to have a trial run, and maybe we can get a few more people on there. So if you listen to the podcast and you're interested, you can hear us talk trash to each other or complain that we got a shitty pick. I don't know.
No, you never get those, do you?
What?
You never get those.
No, I'm here to win.
Yeah.
Look at my fantasy wrestling team.
Oh, Okay. Well, next subject.
I'm like double you guys.
It won't last forever. You will be taken down.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
In a couple months, maybe. Yeah. Oh, did I mention you can follow Dr. Joe to find out this stuff. It's at Dr. Joe Gilmore, G-I-L-M-O-R-E.
If you give them the wrong one, they're not going to find it.
Dr. Joe, D-R-J-O-E-G-I-L-M-O-R-E.
Okay. Are you sure there's no underscores or anything?
No, there isn't. I looked. And the doctors are capital letters because he's a doctor. And he's coaching he's running the team for the Brightside Backcrackers because those DJ doesn't watch baseball, but they're going to sponsor his team. So I don't know.
So you're kind of like the Bad News Bears. He's got a sponsor and stuff.
He does, yes. I mean, those Boston guys stick together, I guess. They're Boston.
Do you have a sponsor?
No, I don't need a sponsor.
Well, you can find our podcast at nerdylegion.com. Yes. You can find us at Indie Alley. You can find me at Real Comics. You can find Fred at Comics Fred. I think that's everybody. You can find Joey.
Wishing that he could have a winning fantasy wrestling team.
Mm-hmm. Can we trade teams?
No. That's your...
Take us out.
You snooze, you lose.
Don't forget to cook the starter.
Yes, go back that.